Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium for Patriots Playbook. As you might be able to tell, I am not John Rook. I'm Scott Sudikoff filling in this afternoon for John Rook, who is currently out in Indianapolis on assignment. He will be checking in with us a little bit down the road here in the first hour of the show. Of course, want to get the contact information out there immediately. You can email the show at webradio as Kevin, our producer extraordinaire, walks in to give me a little stand-up that has the numbers and the Twitter and the email. It immediately falls over. Webradio at patriots.com, or you can call in at 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. That's the ACE ticket hotline. If you want to join the show, Patriots Playbook, on this Tuesday afternoon. And I have a question for everybody listening. And I know this is probably something that's already been talked about today and yesterday and even Sunday. As soon as the Ravens won the game on Saturday night against Pittsburgh, what exactly was your first thought? And I know the question's been thrown out there. Are you scared? Are you worried? Is this the worst matchup out of all the teams that could have come to Foxborough, meaning the other two teams were Indianapolis, Cincinnati, at least for this divisional round? What was your first thought when the Ravens won that game? I'll admit, for a couple of minutes, a little bit of fear crept in because you just immediately think to the 2012 AFC Championship game. You think about the wild card game a couple years prior to that. And, yeah, you get scarred. You have a few moments you remember. But then you take a step back and you analyze that. And this goes without saying. This is a cliche. Everyone says it. Those games have nothing to do with the game coming up on Saturday. Maybe nothing is totally is a strong word. Yeah, there's maybe a little bit. You know, because Joe Flacco and, you know, a handful of the Ravens were on those teams. And they're going to come into Foxborough Saturday. They're not going to be scared. And they're going to potentially play well. And could they beat the Patriots? Sure. Of course. You could have said that if Indianapolis was coming to town. You probably would have said, yeah, sure, there's a chance. If Cincinnati was coming, I think 99% of people would have probably not be worried at all. That's a different story. So I guess the question for everyone out there in Patriots internet land is, what was your first thought when the Ravens won on Saturday? Also, you know, one of the things to look forward to Saturday, or one of the things that will be interesting to see how the Patriots attack it, will be defensively with Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis going up against the, as some people like to call them, the Smith brothers. Obviously, they're not brothers, but Torrey Smith and Steve Smith Sr. Who do you put Revis on? Who do you put Browner on? And is it such a situation where there's not a change-up? Is it Revis on one guy all game, or do you switch it up here and there and give the Smith wide receivers a different look at different times? Then on the other side of the ball, in terms of the Patriots' offense, what would you like to see them do? Would you like to see them spread it out for the entire game, 4 wideouts, 5 wideouts, and maybe, I'm not going to say abandon the running game, but use maybe the short passing, as the team used to do in the past, the screens, try to get the balls to the outside of the field and, you know, try to win that way against the Baltimore defense, because a lot of the talk with the Baltimore defense is it's strong up front, right up the middle. It's not going to be easy to run against the Baltimore, you know, front line, and you want to give Tom Brady as much protection as possible and setting up plays where you can get the football out of his hands quickly obviously can help protect him against edge rushers Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil. So shotgun, quick passes to the outside might be the way to go. 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com. Mentioned John Rook will be checking in with us a couple of minutes down the road here from Indianapolis. Get his thoughts on the upcoming divisional playoff game, Patriots and Ravens, this coming Saturday. Also, in the second hour of the show, we will have Doug Kide of Nesson.com. He'll be stopping into the studio to give his take on what's coming up on Saturday. And we'll also be talking to Eric Friends. He's of Bleacher Report, covers the AFC East, and he's also find him on Boston.com as well. So that's kind of what is coming up in this show. John Rook, Doug Kide, and Eric Friends. 855-PATS-500, and no reason to wait around. Let's go right to the phone lines, and we'll go down to where it is not snowing, Sebastian in Orlando, Florida. What's up, Sebastian?
What's up? How are you this evening?
I'm good. It's an afternoon, but that's all right.
All right, good. Well, my first impression, first of all, for when Baltimore beat Pittsburgh and at Heinz Field, my first issue was, like, I did reminiscent of the 2 years that they came up into Foxborough and beat us, but I will admit I was a little bit worried. I thought that they have two dynamic and potent pass rushers in Boomerville and Suggs, and Flacco can be Flacco instead of Fluco at times. So I was worried, but, you know, at the end of the day, I thought we got some favorable matchups. It'll be a close game for sure. We do have some favorable matchups. And regarding the question with the matchups of the corners and the receivers, what Pat Patricia has done this year is put Revis on their second-best receiver and have that luxury and that flexibility with Browner and McCourty up top with their top receivers. I think in this game, we should just leave Revis on an island with Steve Smith because they're two dogs, two pit bulls going at it. That's what I would do if I was Pat Patricia, and I would have Browner on Torrey Smith with help up top with McCourty because he's the deep threat. And on offense, I would like the Patriots to come out and just surprise the Ravens up-tempo. Up-tempo offense, play action, Edelman deep, Gronk to the middle, actually have Tim Wright in this game. I think Tim Wright could be that X factor this game. Come in and create some mismatches with C.J. Mosley down the middle. And, you know, in this game, special teams will be big. But what I'd like to see is Patriots on offense come up tempo. Run, heavy run with Vereen and LeGarrette and even James White. But I believe up tempo will be key in this game because if Brady has to be in shotgun and that front four of Nada, Suggs, and Dumervil to get comfortable, I think that's when the Patriots can have a lot of problems. So I think on offense, up tempo. And just shock them because, they might be prepared for that, but that's something that you can't simulate on offense. So I'll hear your take on it.
All right, Sebastian, thanks for the call. And, yeah, no, I like those points, especially on the offensive side. Come out and, you know, obviously in the back of Baltimore's mind, they're going to think about the up-tempo and the no-huddle, and that's a league-wide thing now, really, too. It's a football-wide thing, that type of play. But for the Patriots, that could be a very good way of coming right out, getting into the up-tempo, getting into a nice rhythm, maybe working down the field and scoring on that first possession. When I say score a touchdown on that first possession. Don't settle for a field goal. And I think the up-tempo, just like it would against any defense, does not allow that defense to get settled, make substitutions as much, or they get tired out and have to make substitutions. So it's a good idea in terms of the offense. It wouldn't shock me if that first offensive possession for the Patriots, it's a run-and-gun. Not so much like the Oregon game against Florida State where they were running plays every 15 seconds, but something along those lines. On the other side, Sebastian mentioned putting Terrell Revis on Steve Smith. I would tend to go the opposite way, though. I would tend to put Revis on Torrey Smith. The PFW guys before me were talking about the fact that Torrey Smith is the big play guy. He is the guy. He might only have two catches in a game, but one of them could be a 56-yard touchdown, and that could be the difference in the game. So if you can completely erase that with Darrell Revis on Torrey Smith, I think you like your chances, Brandon Browner, McCourty, with Steve Smith. And it's this point will be beat to death the terms of the physical play between Steve Smith. There's no doubt that Steve Smith loves to be physical. Brandon Browner loves to be physical. So maybe that helps eliminate that Brandon Browner propensity to have flags thrown against him. If both guys are jawing at each other and a lot of hand fighting and pushing and shoving, the referees might just say, you know what, let him go. They're both doing it. We're going to leave the flags in the pocket. On the flip side, if you have Brandon Browner against Torrey Smith, Torrey Smith isn't not a physical receiver, but he's not like a Steve Smith. He wants to beat you with the speed down the sideline. If you have Brandon Browner get beat, he might grab him, flags come out, and that could cause a problem. So, not that my decision has any bearing on what the Patriots will do, but I would like to see Revis on Torrey Smith and Browner and whatever combination, Browner and McCourty, et cetera, with Steve Smith Sr. I'm for a second there, I thought I confused myself, but Revis on Torrey and Browner on Steve Smith. Let's check out the emails here, webradio@patriots.com. And a good email. Is Steve Smith a better route runner than Torrey Smith? If so, then wouldn't Revis be a better option on Steve Smith? That's a good point. I can't definitively say who is the better route runner. People who know me well know I'm a University of Maryland grad where Torrey Smith played collegiately, so I have a lot of background on how watching him play in college that, yeah, maybe his route running in college wasn't that great. So if I had to guess, I would say, yeah, Steve Smith probably is a better route runner than Torrey Smith, but I'm thinking more along the lines of how I just explained at the setup where I just don't want Torrey Smith to be able to get open down the field, and Darrell Revis, in terms of technique and just being able to stay with a receiver, he does it so well that I don't think if he has him on, if he's on Torrey Smith, Joe Flacco may never look Torrey Smith's way. And then all of a sudden you eliminate some of those Flacco deep ball opportunities if Torrey Smith has no chance against Darrell Revis. 855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com. Let's grab another caller. This is Noel or Noel in Denver. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning.
How you doing?
Great. How you doing?
Not bad. No complaint. A little bit of snow outside, but then again, if you're in Denver, it might be snowing there as well.
Yeah, it's 54 today here.
Oh, not bad. Wow.
It's supposed to snow a little tomorrow, and then go. You know, it just goes up and down in Denver all the time. It's 400 inches of snow in the mountains and about 40 inches a year in Denver, so it doesn't stay on the ground long.
All right. So what do you got for me, Noel?
Well, I agree with you about Torrey Smith. I really think Revis should be on him. I think Browner should go on to Smith Sr. there. The other thing is it went down exactly the way I like that. I know a lot of people are nervous about Baltimore and all this, and I living here in Denver, they don't want to even speak about the Patriots. The sportscasters at the end of that night said, well, we're now going to head and beat Indianapolis, and then we're going to beat Baltimore, and then we're going to play Green Bay. So then they don't even want to mention Seattle and New England in the same breath. So they're a little nervous here. I think Indy's the only team that can actually go into Denver and win that game. And I feel that if the Patriots play the way they played the entire season against the elite teams, that we should have no real issue at the end of the game against Baltimore.
Yeah, that's an excellent point as well. The Patriots have played well against the best teams on their schedule. When you look at the other side, Baltimore, I think it's a 2-5 record against playoff teams this season. So you look at it just like that, the Patriots have been able to excel in these situations while Baltimore hasn't been able to excel. What would you like to see the Patriots in terms of the offense? You know, their first time with the football, what do you want to see that first play be or the first series be?
I'd like to see it the way they did it against Indianapolis and ran it down their throat with Cameron Fleming over there as the extra offensive linemen.
So you want to see them attack that front line of Baltimore, potentially?
Yeah, I do. That's how I like to see them do it. Whether they'll do it or not, is you never know how the bats are going to come out, you know?
Hmm.
I think that that's going to stop the pass rush. Immediately we go to play action and start tearing them apart during the second quarter. So I'd like to rough them up a little bit at the start. That's my opinion, and I hope it happens. That's for sure. And living here in Denver, I hope it happens even more. So thanks for taking my call, and enjoy the show, Joey John's show. Enjoy listening to you guys all the time, and I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
All right, Noel, thanks for the call. Enjoy the week, and enjoy the game on Saturday, of course. Let's go back to an email here, webradio@patriots.com. It's from Steve in Texas, and he says, while I respect the Ravens, as I would any playoff-caliber team coming to Foxborough, I do not fear them, nor am I worried about them. Simply stated, as long as the Patriots play with the proper level of smash mouth, I believe Flacco is good for at least one turnover. If the Patriots can start strong and the D is stout, the Ravens may be in for a very, very long day of getting a beatdown. Goes without saying, a strong start for the Patriots will be beneficial for them, but if they do come out and they can grab a 14-0 lead by just marching down the field, that would be such a statement to the Ravens that, not to say a Baltimore team would roll over and give up on any game, but put a little bit of doubt in their minds. They're going to come out, the Ravens are going to come out immediately in that game, and they're going to say, we're the better team in their minds. They're going to say, we're the better team, we're going to win this game, no doubt. If all of a sudden it's 14-0, 8 minutes in, it's human nature again. Doubt will creep in, just as it was human nature when the Ravens won on Saturday for a Patriots fan to say, uh-oh. But once you step back and you look at the situation, you analyze it a bit, you start to realize that this is a Patriots team that should win this game 9 times out of 10, maybe 8 times out of 10. I hope I'm not overstating that. I believe Vegas thinks it's a 7.5 point spread there. And that's how most divisional games are. Webradio@patriots.com. Let's grab one more email here. And the subject line of Steve Smith is very physical, very capitalized. This is from Tom. Steve Smith is the better route runner. He's much more physical. He's more consistent, and he also gets the team going. Ravens seem to rally around Steve Smith. Torrey Smith is a home run hitter, and I would agree completely with all that from Tom. And to me, that is why I want Darrell Revis on Torrey Smith, so there is no home run. So when it's potentially 21-21 in the fourth quarter and Flacco wants to look deep down the field with one of those long Flacco passes that, you know, he's looking maybe for a flag or obviously to hook up with Torrey Smith, it's completely shut down and there's no chance of that happening. Not to say that Steve Smith can't break one open either. He very well can, but that's just kind of my thought process on it. So now we'll go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and a very special guest on the line. Oh, this is his show, so it's almost not even that he's a guest. He's just coming on to his own show. He's out in Indianapolis, John Rook. Hey, John, how's Indy going?
Scott, it's cold here just like it is at home, so believe me, I feel right at home. There's about 4 or 5 inches of snow and slush on the ground. The temperature is about 13 degrees outside, so hey, life is good, brother. Life is good.
It sounds very much like it is right now. My walk from the car into the studio, which was 30 seconds, my hands froze in that amount of time, so... Not the best.
Don't you love it? But see, that's what's so great about, honestly, about the game on Saturday, because temperature is supposed to be, I think, in the 20s around kickoff, and I'm sure once, the sun gets fully set and everything after the kickoff, then the temperature is going to continue to plummet. So that's what you have this time of year, and this is why teams need running games, and this is why offensive linemen love to block straight rather than pass block, and I fully expect the Patriots to do a lot of that on Saturday and to try to control tempo more than any other game recently, because they have to. I don't think they want, Baltimore to – I really don't think they want Baltimore to feel like they got a shot, and Baltimore, is going to come in already with an abundance of confidence just because they've won two of the three previous times that they've met in the playoffs here in Foxborough, and they probably should have won the third one, you know, if not for the botched kick and the drop touchdown and everything that was in that game. So, you know, they're not as scared of the Patriots at all. And so the Patriots need to, I think, send a message early Saturday. Otherwise, I think they'll probably be in for a battle right to the bitter end.
Now, I've been asking this question of the callers and the emailers, and just before you had any time to really think about Ravens-Patriots on Saturday night when the Ravens won that game,
First
thought in your head, what was it? Just initial reaction, knowing that matchup was coming.
My initial reaction was, whoa.
Yeah.
Because I think we all felt like, you know, Pittsburgh would probably win. But, you know, when they lost Le'Veon Bell, I immediately changed my point of view, and I really thought that Baltimore would win that game. So I actually thought that Baltimore would be the opponent. And sure enough, I was right. And I think most people that thought that way, you know, saw that they were right as well, because Le'Veon Bell meant so much, you know, to Pittsburgh's, you know, consistency and explosiveness on offense. So I'm not surprised at all. It's Baltimore. And frankly, then I kind of wrote about this, you know, in my column on the website here as well this week, that I think this is good for the Patriots. I think they need something to kind of snap them out of the malaise that they've had over the last couple of weeks of the regular season, really over the last month, because, you know, the numbers that have been talked about a lot over the course of the last couple of weeks, but, you know, four of the last five games they've trailed at halftime. They've gone five straight opening drives without scoring any points. You know, when they earlier in the year, when they were really going well in November, they were dominating. They were scoring. They were getting touchdowns, and they were really hot in the red zone. And now, not so much. So I think having an opponent like Baltimore, who has come in here and whipped them, and that should cause the Patriots to snap to attention. And I think that's exactly what this team needs. And frankly, you know, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, which is clearly the ultimate goal here, you need to have said we played the best, and you probably need to exercise a couple of demons along the way. And I think that, you know, I think that hits twofold here, because Baltimore, we all know, has the makeups of being one of the better teams in the entire NFL. They struggled toward the end of the regular season, but they put it together when they had to. And, you know, they needed a little help, and they got the help when San Diego lost in the final week of the regular season. And sometimes you need breaks like that to be able to make a run, and I think it's good that they're here. I absolutely believe that.
Would you say that the most important factor in this game on Saturday, and it's, you know, it's been a talking point for a couple of weeks now, the offensive line, if, you know, if it can't play at a certain level, is this whole game swing towards the Ravens?
Well, I think it can. I don't expect that the Ravens will, you know, dominate physically like maybe we saw, you know, Miami back in week one or something do, or Kansas City, you know, as well in week four, because, you know, the Patriots were physically overmatched in both of those games. And I think Baltimore's certainly going to take a look at that film, but I think Baltimore's not stupid. They realize the Patriots certainly have made adjustments and will undoubtedly continue to make adjustments. My concern is that the Patriots, especially against Buffalo in the last regular season game, and I realize that's a kiss-off game for a lot of people just because of the circumstances, but my concern is when they had a chance to make some adjustments, then they chose not to do it. And so when they have to make adjustments again, yeah, I know they're pros, but is it going to happen, you know, quick enough for them to be able to make a difference in the game? That's been sticking in the back of my head. Now, to that I mean, what's the health factor? And so far, everybody seems like, you know, they're on the field, everything's good. We don't know what will happen between now and, say, Friday, when the, you know, last injury report will come out. And, of course, 90 minutes before kickoff on Saturday, you'll have the inactive list come out. And so we'll really know who was hurt and who wasn't. And we don't really know that until 90 minutes before kickoff on Saturday. But if this team is able to be somewhat healthy and have Connolly and Wendell in their proper places on the line and Stork in the middle and both tackles are all set, then I think this team theoretically is going to be fine. And I think this team will probably, you'll see them use some of that, you know, that sixth lineman, the heavy package they go with, and they, you know, put Cannon at one of the tackles, and you might see them try to, you know, control the tempo and the clock in that form or fashion. So I don't know that Baltimore is really going to overmatch them. I would tell you that It is a concern. It's a legitimate concern. And if the Patriots are, you know, starting a Josh Klein or someone like that in there, which, you know, has really not been good for them whenever they've had to kind of dip that direction, then I would say that they had best maybe go up-tempo and try the dink and dunk route, and they've got to do something to neutralize, you know, guys like Nada up the middle and Suggs around the end. Otherwise, Baltimore can certainly make trouble and win the ballgame.
On the defensive side of the ball, how do you attack Steve Smith and Torrey Smith? What would your be? What would be your game plan against them?
Well, I kind of go back and forth on this, and I heard what you said earlier about what the PFW guys were talking about, you know, beforehand, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Browner on Owen Daniels, you know, and playing, you know, the tight end just because of the size factor. I'm not sure the Patriots want any of the shiftiness or the speed going up against a guy like Browner because of his penchant for, you know, DPI and holding. I don't have a good feeling about that. I'm not sure the Patriots have a good feeling about that. Again, it's just kind of a hunch. I know that New England will mix and match because there's no way that they want to get into a set pattern for Baltimore to recognize. So they're going to throw a lot of different looks, and they'll probably throw a lot of different coverages at Flacco. But he's not going to be afraid to take a stab deep, and I absolutely want my best cover corners. Now, on both Steve and Torrey. Now, that being said, it might very well be that because there's, you know, I think a lot of worry about Torrey Smith being the better of the two deep threats there, that you might find a more physical player like Browner on him. And I'm sure we'll probably see that matchup, but I don't think that they'll sit with it. And so it's going to be up to Flacco to, you know, recognize when he has coverage advantages, and I think the Patriots will do the best that they can to disguise those looks. And then that's where it's going to be incumbent upon, you know, the Patriots front four to somehow, or maybe even, you know, with a delayed blitz of some kind, to put pressure on Flacco before he can get rid of the ball. So it's an interesting chess match, but I actually expect the Patriots to, you know, put a nickel back on a guy like Torrey and maybe let Browner take on the tight end slot.
Now, quickly back on the offensive side of the ball, that first series, the Patriots have the football, and I think you kind of mentioned it a few moments ago, what you would like to see, but what would you want to see that first series of offensive plays for the Patriots?
Well,
other than an obvious touchdown the first play, but
yeah, sure, I get it. You know, first of all, our regular listeners to the program know that my pet peeve is, you know, deferring. I hate that. I hate deferring with a passion, because sometimes I think you need to set, you know, a tempo. And, of course, if the Patriots win the coin toss, you know they're going to defer, because that's just what they do. And the stubbornness that the Patriots and Bill Belichick show when they do that is mind-blowing. Because I understand why you want the possession late in the half, and you definitely want the first possession of the second half, and you try to double up if things work right. Notice I said if things work right. Now, it's worked right more often than it hasn't. I certainly will begrudge, you know, Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt where that's concerned. But there are certain instances, like when you go on the road especially, where I think you need to take some of the starch out of the shirts of the opposition. And even though this game is at home, I think because there's some angst here over the fact that Baltimore is going to have absolutely no fear at all coming in on the road at Gillette, this is a message the Patriots could send more than at any other time this year, is by taking the ball and jamming it right down their throats and at least getting something on the board. But more importantly, I always feel that taking the ball and trying to get points on the board in the opening drive is most important early, because you control the tempo from the get-go and you control the clock, and you make the other team more one-dimensional, because if they're behind already, well, then there's going to be a tendency to hurry up and try to get back in it and maybe throw the ball more. And it's all about, when you look at a team offensively from your defensive perspective, it's all about trying to make a team more one-dimensional, so you know you have a better idea of what's coming at you. And I just feel like that would be a good play in this particular instance. But I'm just whistling Dixie here, brother, because they're gonna defer like they always do. But I'd love to see them take the ball and jam it down Baltimore's throat and send a message right from the get-go.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I was thinking about that actually earlier, that they always defer. And it's actually not even so much the Patriots always defer, but I think it's a league-wide kind of thing, even a college football thing, that most coaches defer. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that there could be a total different idea coming into this game, and that if they do decide to take the ball first, we know that Belichick and the team has something sort of up their sleeve. So that'd be a very early sign if they don't defer in this game.
No question, and I would love it, and I'd be clapping my hands and rubbing them together, trying to keep them warm. And all right, here we go, boys.
Yeah.
You know that actually would be a tremendous jolt, I think, of electricity, you know, for the fans in the stands. And I think because the team, frankly, has floundered on offense the last few weeks, this would send a message to everybody that, you know, we want to jump into this. We need to be taken seriously here. And I don't want them to sit back and wait. I want them to attack. That's what I really want to see. And I think that they're better at it when they go that direction and they take it from an offensive point of view rather than sit back and defer and let the defense, you know, do it. Because, and then, you know what? It's not to say that if they defer and the defense goes on the field first, it's not to say they won't be successful, because we've seen that they can be. But I'm more of an offensive mindset here. And Baltimore, as we know, as I've said several times, they're not going to be afraid of nothing coming into this game.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, they should be 3-0 probably in the three playoff games they've played in Foxborough. So they won't be scared of anything. And so I would just like to be able to slap them upside of the head and say, hey, you're going to have a 60-minute fight here. And I think that would do it more than deferring.
Now, you're out in Indianapolis right now. It's tough to say, in Indianapolis. What's the buzz like for the Colts and Broncos coming up?
You know, it's funny because when we got here, you know, I'm doing the college basketball tonight for, you know, those that might.
You're at Hinkle Fieldhouse tonight, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll be at Hinkle Fieldhouse tonight for Providence and Butler. Looking out my window right now, I'm looking at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like a big old armory more than it does look like a football stadium. But it definitely fills the skyline here. And we got here. When did we came in Saturday night, and the game was played Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So, you know, it was the one thing that really struck me. I mean, this is probably, Scott, because, you know, we're so used to having to deal with all the freaking traffic on Route 1 coming in out of Foxborough. But I didn't see any traffic on the roads. I didn't see people. I didn't see nothing. And I'm like, isn't there a game here at 1 o'clock? I'm looking out my window, and everything is tranquil, right? And then I notice on my television, there's the kickoff. I'm like, are there people in this place? And yeah, there were, obviously, but it's just because they have several different, you know, ways to travel in and out. Most notably, I mean, that morning we noticed that there was quite a big contingent of, Colts jerseys and fans in the lobby of our hotel, and all they have to do is basically walk from the hotel here on a sky bridge through the Indiana Convention Center here, and it connects on the other side with Lucas Oil Stadium. So they actually have a great setup here, and we're kind of hoping, and this hadn't been lost on too many in our travel party, but, you know, the Final Four is back here in March, or actually, you know, early April. So kind of hoping, you know, maybe, well, shoot, wouldn't it be great to be good enough to actually come back here in a couple of months?
That sounds
good.
Be
back here for college basketball, because the setup is tremendous.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a great place. Obviously, Indianapolis is a great basketball town, maybe more so than a football town. So that would be
exciting. You know, and the fans here, certainly, as you asked, they're definitely buzzing about the Colts. I'm not surprised the Colts beat the Bengals. I thought maybe Cincinnati had an outside shot, and I don't think it's so much, you know, Marvin Lewis can't coach in the playoffs, or Andy Dalton can't, you know, quarterback in the playoffs or what have you, is that I just think the Colts actually are a little bit better. And, you know, had that game been in Cincinnati, it might have been different. But I think the Colts, did what they had to do. I don't think the Colts will win in Denver. And I think most Colts fans, at least the few that I talked with here, you know, I think they're sort of resigned to that, to be honest with you. I think they feel like they got a shot, but that it would take a perfect set of events, kind of like, you know, Baltimore heading in this weekend themselves. You know, I think, most everybody seems to be pointing toward Denver and New England. Even the Ravens players have already, you know, made some snide comments about it, how, you know, I noticed where Terrell Suggs even said, you know, well, we're going to be messing up some people's plans because, you know, the TV networks undoubtedly want another, you know, Manning-Brady Bowl. So whether that's the case or not, I know that the Colts feel like they've got as much chance in Denver, perhaps, as Ravens fans feel like they have in Foxborough, even though the reality of that is probably not true.
All right, John, thanks so much for checking in, and have a good call tonight. Providence and Butler at the historic Hinkle Fieldhouse.
We'll be there for that. And Scotty, thanks for sitting in the chair and keeping it warm today. I sure appreciate it.
It's still pretty cold.
And, you know, what's that?
It's still pretty cold in here.
Well, then tell Kevin to turn up the damn heat.
They can't afford it.
Well, that's true. This is the Patriots we're talking about. They've got to save money for free agency.
All right, that's fine. Then I can suck it up then for 2 hours.
Sounds like a plan, man. And again, thanks again. I appreciate that. I'll be back in studio tomorrow.
All right, John. Looking forward to that.
Thanks, man.
All right, John Rook joining us from Indianapolis here on Patriots Playbook. And again, 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com if you want to join the show. We'll take a quick break and be back with more live from Gillette Stadium.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive.
touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Welcome back to Patriots Playbook. We're at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm Scott Sudikoff, filling in for John Rook this afternoon, who we just spoke to at length about the upcoming Patriots and Ravens game. As, of course, if you're tuning into the show, you know what's happening on Saturday, a 4:35 kickoff right through the tunnel here on the field at Gillette Stadium. Be sure to call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500, if that's easier for you to remember. Web radio at patriots.com if you're a little bit shy and rather send an email along, and have an email that I'd like to read as well right now from Jason Crowley. Jason here in Cork, Ireland. I'll admit the Ravens were the last team I wanted to see in the divisional round. I know they are different teams, of course, but I think the Ravens do not fear the Patriots more than anyone in the AFC, especially in the playoffs. And because of leaders like Harbaugh, Flacco, and Suggs, who have been here before, and they've won, they'd be very dangerous. And right off the bat, of course, an excellent point with John Harbaugh. You know, a lot of times, things trickle down from the top, and when your leader isn't scared, John Harbaugh, he's been here twice and won, 2-1 record in the playoffs. It's a trickle-down effect. I know there's a talk that not all the players on the Ravens roster right now were a part of those teams, of course, but I think if your leadership has that experience, it trickles down. So Steve Smith wasn't on the Ravens in those games, but I think from what rubs off from Harbaugh, Flacco, Suggs, and also the fact that Steve Smith is a, you know, pretty battle-tested guy, I don't think he'd be afraid of anybody, no matter what. Finishing up this email from Jason, he says, but saying that I think overall the Pats are a better team, and if the Pats can execute well in all phases of the game, they should come out on top comfortably. Offensive line and how Revis and Browner play will be huge. And I think that's a ongoing thing as well. You know, a lot of times you go into these games and you just kind of repeat the same factors going in because you just know they're so important, the offensive line, how Revis and Browner play against Smith and Smith. But we haven't yet talked about today. It's just having Rob Gronkowski on the field and what it does offensively. I mean, he's seen it all season, and it'll be interesting to see what Baltimore decides to do against him, whether they want to double him up, be very physical, completely take him out of the game. Even when Gronkowski is roughed up and taken out of the game, quote-unquote, he still ends up with a couple of big plays. Just a matter of how many big plays he gets, and nice to also have I'm not going to say 100% Julian Edelman, because, of course, he's been banged up a bit, the concussion issues recently. So he might not be 100%, but he's probably close to it. And so Patriots have the weapons to go against the Baltimore defense. And you know, John Rook said it, have some callers who had said it, that they actually would like to see the Patriots come out immediately and try to run the ball down Baltimore's throat, bring in the extra offensive linemen, and set the tone early, go right after the front line of the Ravens. 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com is the email, and we'll go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll go down to the state of New Jersey and talk to Kareem. What's going on, Kareem?
Scott, how you doing, sir? First of all, thanks for filling in. You really threw me a curveball for a second.
Oh, I threw you a curveball? Just the voice, much different voice?
It's funny because I started listening to the show when John was on the phone.
Oh, okay,
right?
Yep.
Like, why does he sound like he's on the phone? And I'm like, oh, it's because he's on the phone.
He's on the phone.
But then I called and Kevin put me on. It was awesome. Hey, thanks for filling in. Appreciate it.
That's my pleasure.
All right. So, nitpicks. I don't know if it's going to be a nitpick Tuesday, but we all.
Why not? Go for it.
I'm sorry?
I said, why not? Go for it.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It just, I just listened to Tom Brady and the rest of the guys talking about the press conference. It's just it's pretty scary. I hate to say it. The Ravens look really good. I was on Twitter, and actually I was talking to Matt Chapman, and I said, should we really fear the Ravens? And he said no.
Oh, he's very much against that. He's questioning why there should be no fear for yep. Patriots fans.
Well, and I replied. I said, he's the pro, and I trust him. And guess what? I mean, we just have to get a grip on offense. I think our defense is phenomenal and always can be better, obviously, but the offense has to make plays, and you don't want to see any more threes on the board. You want sevens all day. You know, this is how I'm seeing it right now. You cannot be mediocre at this stage of the game. So we'll see how it goes. I just hope everybody's healthy and coming back. I really haven't been paying much attention with injuries. Is everybody going to be ready for that game? Do you know?
Everybody, all 63 at practice today. I believe everyone's reported no extra red, no contact jerseys other than the quarterbacks. Brandon LaFell was at practice with no apparent extra brace or wrap on his foot or ankle or whatever the injury might be. So as of right now, looks like everybody out there, and that's obviously the first step to being successful, and that's how important the bye is.
My fingers are crossed there as you speak. That's awesome. I mean, that's just let's bring the Ravens in, clip their feathers.
All right, Kareem, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com. Scott Sudikoff here as Kareem figured out eventually, filling in for John Rook. We had John on the phone from Indianapolis, where he's calling Providence Butler men's basketball tonight at Hinkle Fieldhouse. I will say, I am very much jealous of that opportunity for John. I think he probably had that opportunity to do it last year as well, but I'm jealous of the opportunity every time. That'd be a great place to see a basketball game. But, of course, we're talking about football, so let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and go to Buffalo and talk to Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Nothing much. Just called. I wasn't tuned in earlier, so I don't know what was said much. But, I'm a nitpick anyway.
Go for it.
As of late, I don't like the tackle. I think we're struggling getting ball carriers on the ground after the catch, and we're allowing too many yards after the catch. I think they really need to shore that up this upcoming week, because the Ravens, they're definitely going to come in here and try to take us out like they have been in the past, in the playoffs. To me, this is more of a fight than a football game. We're going to have to be physical. We're not going to be able to get a win being finessed and thinking we're going to run around. You're going to have to run through them. And I was listening to what you said earlier about running the ball. I think that's something we need to put an emphasis on early in the game. Run the ball and try to sustain drive and hopefully come out with that win. But we're going to have to play physical. I want to know what your thoughts is on that. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call, Andrew. No, I think physical type of game is going to be important. And I started off the show shying away from the run game, but as I've talked to people and opinions change when you hear other opinions and you hear logic and reason, I tend to now understand the idea of, especially the John Rook idea of, you win the toss, take the ball, and then run it down their throats, really set the tone. I tend to like that idea. I think obviously it's risky because the Ravens run defense could step up and make it very tough for the Patriots. Steelers had 3.6 yards per carry in that game last week. Not great, not bad. I would think the Patriots would like to get it above four. That would be a very successful running game. In terms of physicality on the defensive end, so we talk about the physicality on the offensive end, and that would be running at them and not shying away. Defensively, the physicality, of course, you think of Brandon Browner. And, again, I've said I want Brandon Browner playing with Steve Smith. And we've also tossed around the idea of Brandon Browner with Owen Daniels as well. And as John Rook said, and others have mentioned as well, is don't expect it to be a static situation. It'll be dynamic. It'll be fluid. That Darrell Revis will probably match up with both of the Smiths during this game. And you'll probably see Browner match up with both of the Smiths at some point and with Owen Daniels. Because that's the best way to keep Joe Flacco guessing, is that on this play, is Revis on Torrey or is Revis on Steve? And he's got to think about that every time. If you get into that mindset or that play calling situation where it's Revis always on one guy, it allows Flacco maybe to pick apart, find a chance to get a play down the field against one of the guys, Revis or Browner. And keep Joe Flacco guessing. You tend to think Flacco will make a mistake at some point in the game. Now, question is you take advantage of the mistakes? He might make a few bad throws, but you have to be at the right spot to have the interception or cause the fumble. But I think there's going to be situations where you'll be able to take advantage of a mistake. Just a matter if you're able to do it, take advantage of it or not. 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com. We have a couple of emails in the inbox, from Joe Trapani. No reason to be afraid this time around. The Patriots are as healthy as one could wish this postseason and haven't played the Ravens immediately after the bye week in the divisional round. There will be no Julian Edelman and Matthew Slater defending against Baltimore's final drive. Excellent point. And Gronkowski is healthy, ready to go. Every team in the playoffs is tough, but when the Patriots play their game, there's no better team. So long as Torrey Smith doesn't draw a few 40-yard pass interference penalties, and that is, of course, part of my reason to have Darrell Revis on Torrey Smith most of the game instead of Brandon Browner, we win comfortably. The Ravens say they aren't scared of Gillette Stadium. It's time to show them why they should be. Go Patriots. Yeah, no, I agree. Time to show them why they should be. It might not set in until the second half because we know, again, they're going to walk in, they're going to think they own the place, and it'd be time for the Patriots to show them who's boss on their own field. And so that's web radio at patriots.com. If you want to send an email, 855-PATS-500, the number to call in here on Patriots Playbook. We will take a break here, but coming up this hour, we hope to have Doug Kide of Nesson.com sitting here in studio. Eric Friends will also be joining. He's of Bleacher Report, covers the AFC East, and also can find him on Boston.com. So that's all coming up in the second hour of Patriots Playbook, live here from Gillette Stadium. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, We're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to step inside the playbook? Hit up John toll-free on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man, the myth, the legend himself, John Rook.
Welcome back to Patriots Playbook. Scott Sudikoff filling in for the man, the myth, the legend, John Rook this afternoon. Number is the same, though, of course, 855-PATS-500. Email also the same, webradio@patriots.com. We started the show in the first hour throwing out some questions for the listeners in terms of the first thing was, what were your thoughts immediately when you found out the Ravens, or you watched the Ravens win that game against the Steelers and knew it would be Ravens-Patriots? What was your initial thought? And we've had some emails, some callers mentioned, yeah, at first, a little bit of a bit worried at first, as was I admit to that. But taking a step back and thinking about the games that were played here, the three previous playoff games, and the game that was played last year in the regular season, and just really dissecting it, you start to realize that this Patriots team, compared to last year, is this much, you know, a great leap better. And even so, compared to the teams maybe in the AFC Championship games, this team has a bit of a better team, especially defensively, in the secondary, to be more specific. Also, if you were at the helm of the Patriots, what would you do with Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, in terms of matching up with Steve Smith Sr. and Torrey Smith, and maybe even Owen Daniels? We've had the idea thrown around of maybe Brandon Browner gets a lot of time on Owen Daniels. Stop that potential target for Joe Flacco. And then on the offensive side of the ball, on that, say, that first series of offensive plays for the Patriots, what would you like to see? We've had some like to see them throw it down the field. We've had some who like the idea of bringing in an extra offensive lineman, running it down their throats, and that's the thing that maybe the Patriots won't be able to do is run against the Ravens. Well, why not try to force that issue and see if you can get it going early in the game? And then John Rook, when you talk to him in the first hour, he's out in Indianapolis, he liked the idea of trying to get the ball first in this game. Now, obviously, if you don't win the toss, it's up to the other team. Fact is, actually, if the Patriots don't win the coin toss, they probably will get the ball first, because most teams, and the Patriots included, 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, they defer. So it could be nice to see the Patriots get the football, ram it down the Ravens' throat immediately, and try to set the tempo that way. So I want your thoughts on that. 855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com. Let's grab one quick email before we go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, from Shaban, I believe, or Shaban, sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. I'm not as concerned with the matchup as some people are. I have one thought, though. Let's just say the offensive line does a decent job in protecting Brady. I don't see any reason why the Patriots can't control this game. I think the Patriots are an all-around more talented team. I guess it depends on what your definition of decent job is protecting Brady. How many sacks is that? Is that one sack? Is that two sacks? Is that decent? I heard on the drive-in, the PFW guys, it was the number thrown out, oh, if Brady gets sacked 3 times, that won't be that bad. But then on the flip side, well, if he's sacked 3 times, how many times is he going to be hit, hurried? So it's not so much the sack numbers, it's just the amount of time that Brady has to be comfortable and make good throws, make smart decisions. And so he might be sacked just once in the game, but that might not mean anything. Still could be hit 9 more times and hurried and forced into some mistakes. Ace Ticket phone line, 855-PATS-500. We'll go out to, I guess, the great northwest of Canada, or great northwest of North America. I don't even know how you would say it, but it's Vancouver. I'm sorry. Here's Sean. What's up, Sean?
Yeah, I'd say the Northwest. It doesn't matter. It's not much difference from Seattle.
True.
But yeah, Happy New Year. When Pittsburgh lost on the weekend, I was disappointed. I was hoping we'd get to play the Colts again, and I thought that'd be an easier matchup. And my main concern, I mean, I think the Patriots are better, but my main concern is the offensive line versus or the Ravens front four. They put a lot of pressure and they stuff the run, and it's a tough line to face. And I'm also under the ilk of, well, you know, if you have 6 offensive linemen and you bring in Devlin and just run the ball with Blunt and pound it and really dominate, that line of scrimmage, maybe you can change that idea of the confidence that the Ravens are coming in with, and you can think like, well, okay, they're taking away our strength, which is not necessarily what the game plan always is. It's usually like attack the weakness or cover up what they do best offensively. So I'd like to see them be able to run, and I think that would be able to give Brady more time in the pocket. He'd be able to throw a bit more and have some time on play action. So that's something that might work, but we'll have to see on Saturday what happens.
All right, Sean, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You mentioned, thinking about the running game, LeGarrette Blount, remember the game last year in Baltimore, he had a very good game. He rushed, I believe, almost 5 yards per carry against the Ravens last year, 4.8 to be exact, had a couple of touchdowns. That was, week 15 or 16 of last season, 41-7, you win in Baltimore. And if I'm not mistaken, going into that game, Patriots fans had some of the same concerns maybe that they had today or having coming into the playoff game. Obviously, a much grander, much more on the line this Saturday as opposed to a game late in the regular season last year. But the Patriots really came out and they just stuck it right to the Ravens immediately. It was 14-0 halfway through the first quarter. It was 20-0 through the third. So, and they really came out and stuck it to the Ravens early and took advantage of that game. So LeGarrette Blount might be that first option type of running back. If they bring in the extra offensive lineman, they really bulk up, and Blount is your prototypical guy to bruise through the front line. And once you get through that front line and you get towards the second level of defense for Baltimore, there's a little bit more wiggle room. There's been a lot of talk about the secondary for Baltimore outside of Ladarius Webb not being too strong. Of course, linebackers, you have Suggs, you have Dumervil more on the edge, but you get to that second level, things could open up in the run game for the Patriots. So, again, that's why you might have that extra offensive lineman, get through that first line, get to second level, and try to take advantage of the Ravens' weakness defensively. So, in essence, Ravens frontline run defense is a strength, but if you attack that, get through it, then you hit the weakness, the back end of the defense, if that makes sense. Back to the email, webradio@patriots.com. Question from John Leonard. Do we think this is the week that Tim Wright becomes more involved in the game plan, especially if the Patriots spread the Ravens out and go up tempo? I would think that would be a safe bet. Especially if the Ravens defensively want to cover up Gronkowski, which, of course, they will. They want to take him out of the game as much as possible. And if things get spread out, Tim Wright, who we've seen in flashes this season, be able to be that type of, hybrid tight end wide receiver that we know in the past has been big in the Patriots offense. So this could be a time, if things are spread out, I would think he would get some time out on the field. Of course, it's certain players like that who randomly show up in games, whether it's a Timms or a Wright, maybe even Amendola now, if you look at the way, just a certain games where the game plan works for that player and they come have a big game. Like a Jonas Gray has that incredible running game, and really since there's been nothing from him, that's kind of the Patriots' MO at times, is that they find a guy in a certain situation to take advantage and get a incredible performance out of. So maybe Tim Wright is that guy this coming Saturday. 855-PATS-500, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com. Usually when I'm in here, I talk a lot to our producer, Kevin Collins, but I've actually ignored him a lot today, which is surprising. I like to talk to Kevin. And 855-PATS-500.
I like when you ignore me.
You like when I ignore you because you're getting other things done.
Oh, yeah, getting all sorts of work done.
But now when I come to you,
I
expect you to deliver.
To have some hot takes.
Some hot takes.
I, for one, Scott, am worried about this game.
Okay.
This was, of all the matchups that the Patriots potentially could have had, meaning Indy, Cincy, or Baltimore, this was the one that I wanted the least.
And I think you're, I think you would probably be in the vast majority of people. 99% of people would probably say yeah, because they match up better. There's the, and there's the two schools. There's the school of, well, you know what? I'd rather have a solid opponent in this first round game that helps, second round game, I guess, to help set them up for later on in the playoffs, maybe a Super Bowl. And there's the other school that say, well, don't you want the quote-unquote double bye? Wouldn't you rather be playing a team that you know you can roll over?
I'm one of those guys that I would prefer to have my team at this stage of the season when you've been through, you know, the trials and tribulations of a 16-game regular season. I'm just one of those guys that I think would prefer – I would prefer as much rest as possible for my football team, as much time to prepare as possible for my football team.
And so to, you wanted the Sunday 4 o'clock game.
And to just be healthy is another huge aspect of it. I think that you could certainly look at stretches of this season for the Patriots and say, you know, whether it was at Green Bay, at San Diego, at Indy, Denver here, they played plenty of those what we call measuring stick games, and they stacked up pretty well. I mean, they didn't get blown out in any of those games. And I think that, you know, those of you who are still looking to kind of figure out who this team is are kind of sadly mistaken. And this team has been tested. And I think that, you know, I would have preferred they get the easy matchup.
All right. So Kevin chiming in. Now he has to go do his duties of opening the door. That's what a producer does. Opens the door for a guest trying to make his way in. Doug Kide of Nesson.com is sauntering into the studio right now. And we'll be joining the show momentarily. I'll take the seat to my left, make the more uncomfortable seat for him. Look, as Doug gets settled in. 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com. We still welcome your phone calls while Doug sits in here and make sure he knows how to turn on the microphone and everything. Is Doug all set to go?
Yes, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's on. All right, cool. All right, Doug, well, first of all, welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem, of course. Yes. Many people might not know, Doug and I go way back.
Way back.
Way back to the high school days. So this is like a dream. This is like a high school dream, thinking about what we're going to do in the future.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
10 years down the road, and now 10 years down the road, we're sitting here and talking about a Patriots playoff game with the Ravens. Now, of course, you were out at practice, had a chance to talk to players and coaches. First things first, and we've seen the reports, but injury-wise, things seem to look good right now, everyone out there?
Yeah, things are looking pretty good right now. Julian Edelman was out there. He's had the concussion issues. Brandon LaFell was out there, and that's a very good sign just because he wasn't out there last week. He didn't look 100%, I'd say. He was limping a little bit, wasn't going through the drill that we saw at 100% full speed, I'd say. But that he's out there at all is a good sign. I'd say that that's a good progression to play on Saturday.
Now, I've been asking this question to emailers and callers and I guess we'll say quote-unquote fans. I'll ask the question to you. When the Ravens won the game on Saturday night, being someone who covers the Patriots, your first initial thought about the matchup, and this is without now analyzing anything. Now, I'm sure you do some pre-analyzation.
Yes.
Pre-analyzing of things, you know, going in, but that first initial thought when the Ravens won that game.
You know, they played well, so I think the first initial thought was, maybe this wasn't the matchup that the Patriots wanted.
Right.
And then also, then in hindsight, I guess watching Sunday too, when the Colts didn't play super well, I'd say, yeah, maybe the Patriots would have preferred to play the Colts rather than the Ravens.
Or the Bengals,
yeah. Definitely the Bengals. But no, I think the Ravens are kind of a difficult matchup now that you look at it and you see that they play well and I kind of take a closer look at everything. They've kind of struggled against tight ends, and that's obviously one matchup that everyone's going to be watching this week with Gronk. But they have some good pieces there, and that's kind of interesting to see how the Patriots will feed Gronk and how the Ravens will defend him. And that's something that I really looked at yesterday, and it looks like the Ravens might have some good pieces to be able to do that.
Yeah, what can the Ravens do to – I mean, I don't think you can eliminate Gronkowski altogether. I mentioned a few moments ago that it's either way he's going to have at least one big play, whether it's a touchdown or a 30-yard gain down the heart of the field. You really can't eliminate all of that, but if you're the Ravens, you just want to limit it. Instead of four big plays, how about just one?
Yeah, if you eliminate Rob Gronkowski, then everyone else is going to go off. Julian Edelman's going to go off. Brandon LaFell is going to go off. You can't eliminate Gronkowski and then hope to have a usable defense, basically.
Right.
So I think really what they're going to try to do is bump him at the line. That's what they've been doing to tight ends all season. Maybe we'll see some bracket coverage, which is linebacker covering him and then run him into a safety and he'll take the deep half. But the one player who I think is really key in this matchup is Will Hill, the safety for the Ravens. He missed the beginning of the season with a suspension, but since he came back, he's been very good, and he's pretty good in man coverage versus tight ends. And granted, it was against Jimmy Graham, who can be he's weaker than Gronk, I'll say that much, and Antonio Gates, who wasn't quite as fast as Gronk, but he did pretty well against those two players when he was matched up one-on-one. So that's one matchup to really watch in this game, is just how will Will Hill be lining up, and will they trust him to be one-on-one with Gronk?
855-PATS-500, the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. If you'd like to email in, being joined here by Doug Kide of Nesson.com for all your Patriots-Ravens needs. So feel free to call in, and Doug can answer any questions you might have, or if you're, as I always say, a little bit shy, you can email it. Or if you're sitting at work, it's harder to call than email. Got any questions for Doug here? Question I have, and we've been batting this idea around in terms of the offense in that first offensive series. We talked to John Rook earlier, the normal host of this show, and he's very much in the idea of getting the ball first. He hates deferring all the time. Of course, there's times when it makes more sense than others.
Yeah.
Maybe not in overtime, but hey, that worked out. That was pretty crazy. But he would like to see the Patriots get the ball first, stack the O-line, bring the extra lineman in, and run it down Baltimore's throat when everyone from the outside is saying, well, that's the strong suit of the Ravens defense, is the run defense. Would you see them attack that, in essence, attack the strength immediately?
It would probably be smart if you do want to get a run game established to obviously establish it early, but it is going to be tough, and I don't think, you know, everyone wants them to take the ball. No one likes to see them defer, but I just don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't like to go against my
If the Ravens win the toss,
right,
Patriots might get the ball
first.
They
could if the Ravens want to mess with the Patriots a little bit, but no, you know, John was actually my college professor,
yep.
So I don't want to go against him. But, I mean, if you do want to establish the run, you want to do it earlier. But it is tough because Haloti Ngata and Brandon Williams are the Ravens' version of basically Vince Wilfork and Silver Slinga. It's tough to move the ball on those guys. And the Patriots don't have that running back that they can really trust, like a Stephen Ridley, to establish that run game early. Obviously, Jonas Gray's done well. LeGarrette Blount has done well. And if you want Blount to have a big game, you want to get him going early. But I think if they want to score early, running the ball might not be the greatest thing to do first, because that could just tank them, really, if it doesn't work out, and then who knows what happens in the rest of the game.
My initial thought with the first offensive series was up-tempo, 4-5 wide,
right.
Start spreading it out early, get it to the sidelines,
mm-hmm.
and work against the outside, and work against, obviously, the back half of that defense, which is the running theme of not very good other
right.
than Ladarius Webb.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think that's probably the safer move, because that is the area of their defense that has struggled at times. You don't want to attack Webb, and you probably don't want to attack Will Hill too much, but there are those other pieces in there that are pretty easy to move the ball against in the passing game. And I think you do want to get Gronk involved early. You want to have that threat there. Maybe take a shot deep. It hasn't really worked out this season, but by a law of averages, it has to work at some point.
Could you have a Brian Timms sighting?
Perhaps, or Brandon LaFell, maybe even a Gronk seam route. Something to just kind of get that offense moving, because they have had such a hard time getting moving in the first half in these recent weeks that I think that they need confidence, and they can't wait until the second half to gain that confidence in a playoff game.
Now, looking on the defensive side of the football, what fans look at is on the Ravens, you have Torrey Smith, Steve Smith Sr., and then on the Patriots side, Darrelle Revis, Brandon Browner, and the question that will be asked all week is, who takes who?
Yeah, this is a good question because there's not an obvious matchup for Brandon Browner. Usually there's a guy who's 6'3" and there's a guy who's 5'11" or 6', and you put Browner on the big guy and you put Rivas on the small guy.
Like they did with Calvin Johnson, which was...
Right.
People were a little surprised just because you would say Calvin Johnson might be the best receiver in the entire league.
Yeah.
Why don't you put the best corner in the league on him? But
right. Or even with the Packers where they put Browner on Jordy Nelson, who's a better player than Randall Cobb, in my opinion at least, but they put Rivas on Cobb because that's a better matchup. In this, there's not a great matchup for Browner, but I think you do put Browner on Torrey Smith. You put Darrell Rivas on Steve Smith just because Steve Smith is a little bit more shifty. Browner doesn't have the speed to keep up with Torrey Smith, but if you drop into a cover three, if you have Devin McCourty's help over the top, I think that can kind of be negated more. If you have Steve Smith going up against Brandon Browner, he can get loose pretty much anywhere, and then that can cause some serious problems. You don't have as much help there in the middle of the field as you might back deep with Devin McCourty. So I think that is the way to go, but you know the Patriots have a way of always surprising people. So even if one thing the Patriots could do is just stick those guys on one side, say, okay, Rivas is on the left, Browner's on the right, and we'll let you dictate the matchups and see how that goes. That would probably mean more zone coverage, which could happen, but I'm kind of open to anything in this matchup. I think the receiver who Browner matches up best is Marlon Brown, but he spends most of his time in the slot, so I'm not sure if you want to see that happen in there.
With so much focus on the Smiths, and deservedly so, is, and this again is always a theme of Patriots games, the tight end, but Owen Daniels, he's not, you wouldn't call him elite. You wouldn't call him average, though. He's definitely above average.
Yeah.
He's somewhere in between where he's a very capable tight end. How much worry should a fan have about him all of a sudden showing up for five catches and two of them being touchdowns?
The Patriots have varying success against tight ends, I'd say. The worst performance was actually Browner when he matched up against Kobe Fleener earlier this season. Allowed a ton of big plays. Daniels is kind of a different player than Fleener, though, not as quick. He's a little bit older, a little bit slower, a little stronger. But I think a guy like Jamie Collins could probably do a good job against Owen Daniels. I don't think we see one player matchup against Daniels. It's going to be Collins. It's going to be Patrick Chung. We could even see some of Brandon Browner in there because earlier in the season, they used Browner in this weird hybrid linebacker role
right,
where he basically had his hands on his knees, and it was strange because I'm the idiot who said that that was never going to happen, and then it happened.
I'll interject here. I think everybody in your position, in my position, at some point has been a total idiot.
Yes,
so
yes.
And I think it happens more often than not.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely. But no, I mean, that could happen. I don't think that Daniels is the guy to be really concerned about, just because he's probably not going to be the guy who's going to go off for 8 catches, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns, just because he's not really that player at this point in his career. But he is a guy that can move the sticks, and you need to have a dependable player on him. And the Patriots have been pretty lucky with Chung and with Collins against those tight ends. Obviously, Chung has given up a couple big plays to tight ends, but it hasn't been the norm this season like it was in years past, even with Chung in there.
855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com. I'm Scott Sudikoff, filling in for John Rook this afternoon on Patriots Playbook. To my left, I have Doug Kide of Nesson.com. Any questions you'd like to call in and get an expert answer from Doug, or should I not say expert? No, I think I should say expert.
Expert's fair.
Expert analysis from Doug Kide of Nesson.com. Another big theme this week, and it goes along with the injuries, is and we've already alluded to it a bit, the offensive line. Who would you say on that offensive line? I mean, I guess you usually say left tackle is always the most important, but kind of getting away from that idea, but who on the offensive line needs to be 100% to keep it together, pretty much?
Well, the big name there is Dan Connolly, just because he has been banged up, and he was really struggling for a couple weeks there while he was dealing with an ankle injury. It really seemed to be bothering him. His agility wasn't there, his strength wasn't there, so he's had a few weeks off now to recover, and that hurt them to end the season, but now obviously it could wind up helping them, because if he is fully healthy, that will even help out Nate Solder, just to have a dependable body next to him, not have Josh Klein, who did kind of struggle at times when he was at left guard there. So if Connolly's healthy, that could tie this offensive line back together. like it was midway through the season. Obviously, the offensive line really struggled at the beginning of the season. Then once they
it's been like a tale of three different offensive line seasons.
Yeah, in the middle there it was good. By the end it was kind of tailing off again, but there were at least reasons for it. You could point to Dan Connolly's health. You could point to Sebastian Vollmer sitting out that last game. So with those five starters back in place, I think there's cause for concern here just because the Ravens' defensive line is so good. They have those two bookend pass rushers in Dumervil and Suggs who are very dangerous. But one thing that could actually really help the offensive line is that if the Ravens do choose to bump Gronk at the line of scrimmage, that gives Brady an extra half second, second to get rid of the ball, because if, say, Dumervil's bumping Gronk at the line of scrimmage, he's not going straight for Brady. He's not going straight for Nate Solder in that case. And that could help out a little bit. Obviously, it'll hurt Gronk, but overall, it could actually help the offense a little bit.
And it's amazing when you think about just that simple bump.
Yeah.
Changes things.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
But that's the effect of Gronkowski. If Gronkowski isn't in this game this week, Vegas has it at 7.5 points. It'd probably be down at 4 or 3. He has such an effect on everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's almost like the war stat in baseball. How far could you move a Vegas line if you're out of a game?
855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com. I think I have an email to read. We'll see if there's anything for Doug to chew on here. My first reaction to playing the Crows.
Wow.
Was me licking my, this is Chad, by the way, the Chad from the ATL, was me licking my chops and rubbing my hands together maniacally. I think a lot of people are giving the Ravens a little too much credit. If the Suggs, Nada, and Dumervil combo is scary, then think about this. Gronk. See? Their pass rush can only get them so far while they are trying to rush Brady, who is covering the big man. I think Gronk is fast enough to get free from one linebacker. I would agree. If Brady can find his reads, I don't think that the Ravens front will be that much of a factor. I think the Ravens game plan will cause them to expend a lot of players and energy. You have to have a secondary to complement your pass rush for it to be effective, especially against Brady. So I go the opposite way of the previous callers and emailers. Throw the ball. So Chad from the ATL would like to see the Patriots on those first series of plays spread things out and throw the football as opposed to pack it in and try to attack that that D-line.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens have spent a lot of time in a cover two zone defense this year, so I think that that's something that Brady could actually really exploit. And the Ravens don't really have much of a choice there because that cornerback opposite Ladarius Webb has struggled. A couple of their safeties have struggled this season, so I think that throwing the ball probably is the smartest move here. Obviously, the pass rushers are dangerous, but Elvis Dumervil is really only on the field on third down anyway. So that pressure might not be that big of an issue on first and second down, which could encourage the Patriots to throw even more on those downs. And as far as Gronk, obviously, like I said, Will Hill is the big name to mention, but a lot of the time against Graham and against Gates, they had their linebackers covering those guys in zone coverage. And if that's how they're going to play Gronk, it could be a very long day for the Ravens defense because he's going to find seams. He's a smart player. He might talk like a caveman, but he's a very smart football player.
I don't know if caveman's really it, though. It's
yeah.
He's a country bro half the time.
Yeah. He's just out there practicing hard.
He just yeah, I love it. I mean, it's always entertaining. One last question for you, Doug, and we'll shift it to Indianapolis and Denver. Your thoughts on that matchup, and I mean, I think I can guess the answer. Who would be the better matchup for the Patriots in the AFC Championship game? Indianapolis, for obvious reasons. But you know, looking at that game, how much chance do you give Indy to go to Denver and win that game?
It's an interesting matchup because the Broncos have really struggled, and obviously, this seems obvious, but it's all really on Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning's going to play like he did at the end of the season, the Colts could easily win this game just because he really was struggling. He was throwing interceptions. His arm strength seems down. Doesn't seem like the player that he was in weeks 1 through 14. But I think the Broncos are probably going to win that game. I think the Patriots would rather see the Colts. But they're both teams that the Patriots have beat and beat by a pretty wide margin this season, so I think that they would have confidence going into both of those games. The Patriots have owned Andrew Luck during his short career so far, and I think some Patriots fans might be dreading that that would swing the other way suddenly. But at this point, there's really nothing to show that that will or could happen. So I think they want to see the Colts, but if they win and if the Broncos win, then I think that that's – it's not a terrible matchup either just because of what happened earlier this season.
All right, Doug, great stuff. Thanks for popping into the studio here. Doug Kide of Nesson.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll have more. 855-PATS-500, web radio at Patriots.com. This is Patriots Playbook coming to you live from Gillette Stadium.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
All right, welcome back to Patriots Playbook. Scott Sudikoff filling in for John Rook this afternoon, 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com. Want to thank Doug Kyed, who stopped in a few minutes ago from Nesson.com to give his thoughts and opinions on Patriots and Ravens coming up. And now another guest sitting in the studio right now. We have Eric Frenz of Bleacher Report, Boston.com. Also a regular, I believe, here with Patriots.com. So a very, very well-known voice to the listeners. So, Eric, you, of course, at practice, talked to some players. And,
yep.
But by the way, who had the icicles from their beard?
That was Brandon Bolden.
Ooh, that was excellent.
That's a pretty awesome picture. Thanks for letting me take that, by the way.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, your thoughts coming in from practice, I mean, we spoke of, injury-wise, everything seems to be good.
On the up and up.
On the up and up. LaFell out there. You have Connolly, Edelman. Obviously it's only Tuesday. Things happen during the course of the week. But what do you foresee in terms of the injuries? Do you think everything is going to stay at 100%? Did you see LaFell have any troubles? Did you see anything along that? Or everyone seemed to be...
Yeah, it seems it's tough
on
to
track,
tell. It's tough to tell right now. Like you said, it's Tuesday, and lots can change between now and Friday when we'll get a final practice report, and then Sunday or Saturday when the inactives will come out. But certainly, yeah, it's good to have everybody out there. I think one of the guys who I was a little bit more concerned with being out there was Nate Solder. His injury happened pretty late in that Bills game. We didn't see him again. And then he wasn't out there at practice last week, made his return this week. So it was good to see him out there, and really important for them to get that guy back with, those edge rushers, Elvis Dumervil and Terrell Suggs are so good. They need all the protection they can get, especially off the edges.
I have an email in here. I want to read it and then get maybe what you think the Patriots should do. It comes from Gabe Fonseca at webradio@patriots.com. And he's agreeing, you haven't heard this, but he's agreeing with John Rook, need to approach this game like we did against the Colts, bring in Fleming, but this time switch it up with blunt force trauma, then gray area, then back and forth, then that opens up the play action big time to Gronk, Edelman, LaFell. So the idea that John Rook has and that Gabe has here is to come out and, in essence, attack the strength of the Ravens and the run defense and load up and try to go after it. Are you on that side of the fence, or are you on the side of the fence that wants to come out and spread it out and get the passing game going immediately?
Well, you're going to have to do both at some point. But But I think, you know, when you have a team like the Ravens that comes in and their defense is playing so well right now, I think you do have to try to establish some semblance of the running game because, like I said, with Suggs and Doomerville, those guys are so good pinning their ears back and getting after the quarterback. It's going to be really tough unless the Patriots make those guys respect the run, stay in their lanes. Brady talked about it a little today that Suggs is so good at guessing what you're going to do as a defender. He's so good at guessing what the offense is going to do that it often puts him in position to make a play when you think you have the perfect thing called and he can just blow it right up. So I have a feeling they'll try to run the ball a little bit. You know, they tend to do that, especially in the colder weather and down the stretch in the regular season. They ran the ball a little bit more. They weren't as successful running the ball this year as they have been in years past, but I do think that's something where if they can build that momentum and like John said, you know, get the play action game going a bit, I think that'll really help them move the ball. And over the middle, I think they have those matchups with Gronkowski and Tim Wright that they can expose those matchups with the linebackers. And really, I think that starts with the play action game.
And I love the point that Doug made just before you walked in. He mentioned that you might have Gronk be bumped off the line by the likes of a Doomerville or a Suggs, and that actually then gives Brady an extra half second or a second, however you measured of time, actually against the pass rush because of that half second of the bump. Mm. And just I expressed the amazement of how much Gronkowski has an effect on how everything goes for this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's incredible. And really, you know, I think just in terms of, you know, the fact that he's such a good blocker, I think it's one of those things where you don't want to take him out of the receiving game because he's so good catching the ball. But at the same time, if there's a way that you can, you know, have your cake and eat it too, I guess it's kind of the way Doug had put it. That sounds like a good strategy to me, especially when, you know, they'll probably end up having to chip Suggs and Doomerville at some point, I would imagine, only because, you know, the Patriots offensive tackle play has been up and down this year and they tend to struggle with those guys off the edges, those explosive pass rushers. I think, you know, when you have guys like Gronkowski who can chip and then he releases into his route, catches a quick pass, you know, 3-4 yards off the line of scrimmage, that could really, I mean, that'll add up and that'll help keep the Patriots offense moving. I think that sounds like a good strategy.
On the defensive side of the ball, spoke with Doug, spoke with John, spoke with callers and emailers. It's the big running theme is Brown and Revis versus Smith and Smith, and maybe even Owen Daniels. You can kind of put him on the side in terms of how you're thinking about matching up. I go with the thought process of Darrell Revis on Torrey Smith, maybe not the entire game, because I don't think it's going to be a static situation. I think you'll see some changes, but I think maybe starting on Torrey Smith, because he's the big play guy, and I trust Darrell Revis's technique and ability to stay with a receiver. And, you know, the difference in this game could be a 45-yard touchdown to Torrey Smith. If Darrell Revis can shut that down, obviously you get rid of that. And I think the physicality of Browner and Steve Smith will, in an essence, eliminate, kind of cancel out the penalty chances against Browner. Because from what I would think, the officials we'll look at that and say, well, they're both pushing and shoving. They're both John. They're both grabbing. So you know what? We'll just put on that matchup, we'll just put the flags away, unless it's obviously egregious. What would be your thought process on Revis Browner against the Smiths?
Yeah, I think you're onto something. I do think that Revis would match up. It's tough because I think Revis would match up better with both guys than Browner would match up. But, you know, just
you might say that about a lot of
right.
Lot
well,
of guys,
I do agree. Think you know. I think Browner, he has a size advantage over pretty much every wide receiver in the NFL. The problem is when you get those smaller, shiftier receivers, it's a lot like the problems that Aqib Talib had if you'll recall, you know, that Panthers game a couple of years back, you know, or last year rather, they had Aqib Talib on Steve Smith for a while, and then they had to change that matchup because that wasn't working out for them. Steve Smith caught a couple big passes, and then, you know, obviously the Talib, you know, the ice up sun moment where Talib had to leave the game, and really, you know, that kind of changed the complexion of that game, especially down the stretch.
Oh, no, you're going to ask him because he didn't finish the game. Ice up, son. Ice up.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for your thoughts, Steve. But definitely, I do think that if their best bet is probably to put Browner on Steve Smith, if only because, you know, they'll probably get into it from a physical standpoint. And they'll probably, you know, there will be flags thrown. I would say that that's pretty much a certainty if you get those two guys matched up against each other. But, strategically speaking, I think that just poses your best option only because, you know, Revis, I think he's much more well equipped to cover Torrey Smith than Brandon Browner is. So I think you probably put Browner on the other Smith.
A lot of times with the Patriots, there's a certain game, a certain matchup where a player that you're not really thinking about ends up having a big game.
Mm.
And
it tends to happen in the playoffs quite a bit.
And we've saw in the regular season with Jonas Gray,
mm-hmm.
the one amazing game and pretty much not much since. Is there anybody on the Patriots offensive side of the ball outside of Gronkowski, I mean, you know, the regulars, mm-hmm. that could have that sort of game?
I'm going to go with Tim Wright. I think, you know, I mentioned him earlier. I think, you know, the way that they match up with the linebackers for the Ravens, you know, the Ravens don't have very much talent at the linebacker spot in terms of their coverage ability. I mean, C.J. Mosley's great stopping the run, blitzing, but not really a great cover linebacker. And really, when you look at that whole group, I think that's one of their bigger weaknesses is the linebacker spot. So, you know, a couple of years back, they came in here and you'd say that was their biggest strength with Ray Lewis and Danelle Ellerbe, but the names have changed quite a bit. So, I do think Tim Wright has the potential to have that kind of game where, you know, he has, you know, six catches, maybe a touchdown or two. You know, I think that's the kind of game that you'll see from him if he has that kind of breakout game.
All right, you ready to take a phone call?
Let's do it.
All right, 855-PATS-500. We'll talk to Nick in Florida. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, I'm in Miami. I'm a regular, guys. Listen, Scott,
yep.
I haven't met you before. I hope you follow me on Twitter. It's at NBL Music Salerno. Everybody else is. You sound great today, man. How come I haven't heard of you before? I got to be the biggest Patriot dummy because I've been watching them since 1960.
Oh, why haven't heard of me?
No. I just haven't heard you on the air. I wish you would come on more often. I've enjoyed this.
Tell that to the bosses. Tell that to the bosses.
Well,
no. I pop in here once in a while. Give John Rook or Mark Bertrand a rest. You'll hear more of me. Don't worry.
I'm not sure Rook is gonna like you gunning for his spot though.
Well, I'm not totally gunning for his spot, but he's in Indianapolis today.
He needs to go on timeout anyway.
All right, Nick. So what do you got coming up? What do you got on the Patriots?
I mean, you know, bottom line is I was just talking to Felger, Maz, and them, and they drive me crazy.
Who?
Felger and I know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm the only guy that drives Felger crazy. But I think it's all on Tom Saturday. I'm very, very worried about the game.
Give me a break.
Are you telling me that I have nothing to worry about?
No, that wasn't me.
That was Felger.
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
The bottom line is, gentlemen, seriously, what are our chances Saturday? Because Baltimore's unconscious. You know, they're just a lucky, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm just very worried about Saturday because Tom really has not played that well the last few games. And, you know, I'm the biggest Brady supporter of all time.
Well, I will say this. I think a lot of Patriots fans are more worried with the uniform than they are with the actual team. I think people think Ravens, they think 2011 or 2012 AFC Championship, they think 2009 Ray Rice 82-yard touchdown run to start the game. And
that
they
happened
think,
before I got in my seat.
Yeah, and they think, you know, they think that that's what they can expect from this playoff game. But these are two very different teams, and I mean, I would say, you know, if you want to feel a little bit more confident, don't look at the playoff games. You look at the more recent game, the one that nobody's talked about for some reason for the past 2 days.
I talked about it a little bit earlier.
Which happened 12 months ago, 13 months ago, December 2013, 41-7 drubbing by the Patriots of the Ravens in their building. So, you know, let's not forget here that these two teams have changed quite a bit, not only since that game, but, you know, they've changed even more exponentially since those playoff games that everybody seems to be focusing in on more than the more recent game that we've seen.
If I can just interject one final thing, as like I said, somebody, so you know me now, who has never missed the Patriots game since 1960. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think if they can get past this game, it's going to be such a bloodbath. I think they'll be in good shape for the next game, and God willing, you know, they'll make it to the Super Bowl. And like I said, again, I hope you're on more often, Scott. I'm definitely going to be tooting your horn, brother.
All right. Thanks so much, Nick. Appreciate that.
Well, I would say that the AFC playoff field, it does look like the Ravens, from a matchup standpoint, are one of the tougher teams that the Patriots could have faced. I think, you know, it really comes down to, in terms of whether the Patriots are going to walk into the Super Bowl, I think it really comes down to what happens in the other game, the Indy-Denver game. I think if Indy comes in here, it's going to be a bloodbath, like you said. But I do think if Denver comes in, they'll be a more well-prepared team this time around than they were last time. I don't think you're going to see another blowout like we did in, what was it, week 9, week 11, when they last played the Broncos. I think it'll be a much closer game, so... it'll be interesting, but I do think that the Patriots are still the class of the AFC, and they should, in theory, they should be making it to the Super Bowl.
All right, let's go have one last phone call before we wrap things up. We'll talk to Miles in Boston. What's up, Miles?
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Actually, I have to agree with the last caller. You're refreshing. I dealt with the other guys. For some reason, I think they had their favorites. I guess the Twitter signed them lunch that week. But,
No, both Eric and Doug bought me lunch, and Doug bought me lunch, and Eric's buying me dinner. So.
No. See, that's different. Like I said, once again, the other ones they're funny. But anyways, I don't have a concern. My thing is like this: just watching Brady in the last four games. Okay, the Brady I used to know, and I guess it also has to do with a better O line. He would egg on the pass rush. He would love the pass rush. And because he knows that he's going to pick him apart. Everybody knows that. But then all of a sudden, even when we had the good guys up there with a lot of help with, you know, playing on our, you know, playing on the O-line and stuff like that and so forth, I mean, our running game, we did good against teams that didn't do good on the run. My thing is, I just believe that their front is better than our O. And Brady... I don't know. I just don't have that feel because the Brady I know, even in the Bills game, that meant nothing like everybody says, still means something to Brady if he can't march down and at least get one touchdown. The old Brady would have got 14 points, sat down, and he would have been fine with it. But to get two field goals and then sit down, or three field goals and then sit down, he wasn't happy with it. Neither was I. So I think that's where my problem is in the play calling. Josh has been sporadic a little bit here and there with some of the play calls that missed the picture to do the Scooby-Doo thing. And I'm just like, I just don't get it. I think they're really going to have to really click. I'm not set on the O. I think Brady's going to have to play a better game than he's been playing. I'm satisfied with it. I think we can hang with what they got. What are your thoughts?
All right, Miles. Thanks for the call. We're up against it here, so I'll get we'll get Eric's last thoughts here. Well, the fire and the passion of Tom Brady is one of those things that Patriots fans and people love to see. How much of that affects really what happens in the game, though, in terms of how much he imposes his will?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be focused. I mean, obviously that's a huge part of playing quarterback, but I don't know that, you know, if you dissect his energy, it's really, you know, it's, you're not going to get anywhere with that. I think that's not really analysis. I think that's more just, you know, that's more just fodder for the sports radio analysts like you and I. So,
all right, that's Eric Friends of Bleacher Report in Boston.com. Thanks for coming on Patriots Playbook. That will wrap up today's edition of the show. And coming up next, you have Fantasy Football Champs with Bill Enright and Anthony Grace. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. My name is Scott Sudikoff. Enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.